Last week I preached, and the message was a life of true worship through prayer. And last week we gave away these prayer books. And if you weren't here last week, I strongly encourage you to go back and listen. You can go onto our website, the church website. We have all of the sermons for the last like 4 years you can listen to. But you can listen to last week's. And then there's also CDs available at the Welcome Center this morning if you want to grab last week's CD. But we also have these books. We passed these out last week. If you didn't receive one, we have enough for one per family. So grab one of these books. This is it's called Revolution on Our Knees. This is a journey that we're doing together as a church family. It's 30 days, but we're doing it over 6 weeks, so 5 days per week. And we're asking you to just read through it with us and pray through it with us. And each day there's a take action plan on each day. But what we've done is we're focusing in on one take action plan per week as a church. And so we're going to put out resources each week that you can use to continue in your prayers throughout the week. And you can get those at the Welcome Center, or you can contact the church office. This one's last week's, and it's at the Welcome Center. And then this week we have this little purple sheet. For those of you that were here last week, you got to grab this so you can pray over this week. And just continue to go through this book together as a church, and Pastor Mark will continue to talk about in the weeks to come. But again, last week was a life of true worship through prayer. Today is actually kind of part two of a prayer series that we're going through, that you're going through with me. Last week was about that, and really I'm continuing, though, also in our communion series, Do This in Remembrance of Me. And this morning, later on, we're going to remember what Christ did through communion. But last week, I went through some points on prayer and just made some simple points. And really, at the end of the sermon, there was really only one thing that you had to remember. Okay, but you still need to go and listen to it if you weren't there. But the one thing that we needed to remember was what? Who was there last week? What was it? I can pray. That's all it was. That was the whole message rounded out into three words. I can pray. Okay, if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to listen to that message. But the ultimate point of the message was that you can pray. That I can pray. That we can pray. And today I want to talk about courageous prayer. Courageous prayer. And so before I start to talk about courageous prayer, we need to define courage. So I'm going to define courage this morning. In the dictionary, the definition of courage is this: the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, or pain without fear. Did you get that? It's right there if you want to write it down. The quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, or pain without fear. Some synonyms of courage: bravery, boldness, daring, grit, guts, heroism, tenacity, valor, fortitude, courage. So the dictionary says that courage is. A lot of the time when Pastor Mark preaches, he kind of will give a definition, kind of talk about what the culture says and what the Bible says. So we're going to do that this morning. But culture says about any definition, culture says, well, it can be whatever you want it to be, right? Isn't that what our culture says about everything? Courage can be whatever you think courage is, whatever you want courage to be in your heart. And that's what our culture says. We can laugh about it, but isn't it true that in everything, and the definition of truth now in our culture is whatever you want it to be. Truth is what you want it to be, and it's all in perspective. It's in your perspective, because courage could be for me one thing, but another person, you could look at what I think is courage, and you could say, that wasn't courageous. And so in our culture, really, courage can't really be defined. However, if I were to try and define what I think our culture says that courage is, I would say that they say it's helping someone else in need when it puts you in danger. Helping someone else in need when it puts you in danger. When I think of courage, I think of firefighters. We got Jim over here. He's a firefighter. He's had to have some courageous moments in his lifetime working as a firefighter, because firefighters are asked to go into burning buildings and to save people or animals, or to go in and make sure that the fire doesn't get any worse than it already is. That's a firefighter with courage. Another person I think of is a soldier. How many of us know soldiers in here? How many of us have family members, friends, folks that we know that are soldiers? I have a friend of mine who's going over to Afghanistan, one of the last groups that's going to go over there. He's going to be leaving this coming spring. Soldiers are courageous. they're facing danger and difficulty and pain when they go over wherever they're going, wherever they serve us in our nation, in this world. And so what my point is, though, is that culture can say anything it wants about courage, but it really all depends on perspective. What does the Bible say about courage? What does the Bible say about courage? Well, first of all, one of the overall themes of the Bible is be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. You familiar with that text? Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid, because it's repeated over and over and over in the Old Testament. And if you've heard Pastor Mark or myself preach in the past, when we talk about things in the Bible that are repeated, usually there's a reason and it's important. Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. And the person that was repeated to most, and that repeated that the most, was Joshua. He was a character in the Old Testament. He was a man in the Old Testament, and he was the most like us. You see, Joshua was able to get to the promised land. He came after Moses, and he made it to the promised land, but then the battles began. After he made it to the promised land, he faced battles. We also face battles, and we must stay strong and courageous. The Bible includes many examples of courageous prayers. And so today, I'm going to share just a couple of them. This is not an exhaustive list by any means. There's several examples of courageous prayers in the Bible. But the first one that I want to talk about today is Elijah. In each of these examples that I'm going to give, there's a specific text in the Bible that you can go back and read and research and study later on this week if you have time to do so. I'm not going to read through every single one, but Elijah was a prayer of courage. He was a prayer of courage. Elijah prayed this prayer: O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. He prayed that prayer. If you remember the story, I can quickly tell you that this was a challenge that he had made with the king of Israel, Ahab, at the time, and all the prophets of Baal. And they're all on the Mount Carmel, and they're there, and they're trying to get these fires started by their gods. And the prophets of Baal are there, and Elijah's kind of encouraging them to try and do their different things, to scream louder and to pray louder and all these things. And of course, the prophets of Baal are doing this, and Baal is not a real god, and so the fire never starts. And then Elijah, with courage, prays this prayer, knowing that he has, and having faith, that he's going to pray this prayer and a fire is going to consume and start and is going to happen right before his eyes. And he prays this prayer of courage, believing and knowing that if it doesn't happen, he's going to be facing some serious difficulty, pain, and danger. And even if it does happen, regardless, he knew that he was going to face some serious things when he challenged the king and the prophets of Baal. And this was his prayer of courage. Another prayer of courage from Jabez. Jabez is not a common character that you hear about a lot in the Old Testament. In fact, there's only really two verses about Jabez. And here's his prayer: Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. That was the prayer of Jabez. That's all we know about Jabez, except for this, the answer to his prayer. And God granted what he asked. Jabez prayed with boldness and expectations. And God answered his prayer. Another prayer of courage comes from Solomon, chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, verses 12 through 42. He was praying, and he prayed a prayer of dedication for the temple. And he dedicated the temple to the Lord faithfully, knowing that this was what he was called to do, because his dad, David, King David, had wanted to build a temple for the Lord. And God said, no, you're not going to build it. Your son Solomon's going to build it. But God made a promise to David. And he promised him that he's not going to let him build a temple, but that David was going to be the one that carries on his name. And that David, the line of David, would come through Jesus Christ eventually and be the Savior of the world. And so God had made that promise to David and that same promise to Solomon, and Solomon prayed faithfully for the temple of the Lord, and God indeed made him prosper. And we know the rest of the story, that Solomon had sons, and then they had sons, and down the line we go, and the descendants of David the descendant of David was Jesus Christ. Another prayer of courage came from Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. See, Nehemiah saw a need. He was a man, he was a cupbearer of the king. He worked for the king. And this is after Israel had been broken apart and had been exiled, and the city of Jerusalem and the walls of the city were torn down, and the city was burning up, and it was all crumbling down. And Nehemiah saw a need to rebuild the walls of this city because he had a passion and a love for his people, the nation of Israel, the people of God. And he risked his life. He risked his life by making a request to his boss, the king. And the king could very easily, when he made this request, the king could very easily have laughed in his face and told him no and even had him killed. He could have done anything he wanted to. He was the king. You want to know what happened? Nehemiah prayed before he went to the king. Nehemiah prayed. He prayed, "O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." Moments before he goes and asks the king this crazy request. "Hey king, can I go and help my nation build up our city so that we can become a nation again?" That's an immediate threat to the king and his nation. He prayed that prayer in a risk, in danger, with courage. God favored Nehemiah. The king, for some reason, allowed him to go and do this. And if you read the rest of Nehemiah and the story in the Old Testament, they go and they rebuild the walls of Jerusalem amidst all of the opposition that they faced. God favored Nehemiah. Another example is Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. You see, at the time, Daniel had some people that didn't like him, and he was a prayer. He was a prayer warrior. We talked about prayer warriors last week a little bit. Daniel was a prayer warrior. And these guys who knew him that didn't like him tried to set him up. And so they went to the king, and they tried to come up with this new law, and the king agreed to it at the time. And the new law was that nobody could pray to anyone except for the king or the idols. And so Daniel knew this. And in the Bible, it says Daniel knew that this law was passed, and then he went and he prayed. Then he went and he prayed. And he prayed three times faithfully like he always did every single day. He didn't stop because there was some new law. He went against the law to continue praying and paid the price. His punishment was to be dropped into a den of lions for a night. Some of you might have heard the story. Maybe you were taught it in Sunday school, or maybe you've read it. Daniel and the lion's den. Do you remember the rest of the story? The lions didn't eat Daniel. They didn't eat Daniel. Daniel prayed and was protected by God. Daniel was courageous. Daniel prayed with courage, knowing that he was going to face difficulty, danger, and pain. But he knew and believed and had faith in his God to protect him. You see the common theme between all these examples? You see the common theme. God answers courageous prayers. God answers courageous prayers. The most courageous prayer of all time. The most courageous prayer of all time came from Jesus. I mentioned this last week in my little teaser to get you to come back this week. Jesus was the most courageous prayer of all time. You see, before Jesus went to die on the cross, right before, hours before, he chose to pray. I want you to think about that for a second. Hours before, he knew he was going to die. He knew that he was going to be falsely accused. He knew he was going to be arrested. He knew that he was probably going to be beat and mocked and have to go through all of this and to bleed. He knew that this was going to happen, and to go to a cross and hang on a cross and die. He knew this. He knew this was going to happen. And he decided to pray. In John chapter 17, the entire chapter is Jesus' prayer before he goes, before he was arrested. And he prayed for three things in that prayer. He prayed for himself. Now, I know that goes against a little bit what we talked about last week and having humility in prayer, but you want to know what he prayed for himself? He prayed that he himself would glorify God through what he was about to do. So really, it wasn't a prayer for himself. It was a prayer that God would be glorified through what he did and through the way that he fulfilled his purpose, his mission, and God's will in his life. Secondly, he prayed for his disciples, these men that he had been traveling around with for the last 3 years, close friends of his and followers of his. He prayed for them that they would, that God would protect them, because he knew, again, he knew he was going to die. He knew that they were going to face some danger in the fact that their leader was going to die, that their leader was going to do to the cross, that he was not going to be looked upon publicly in a high regard any longer, and he knew that they were going to be in trouble. He prayed for their protection. And thirdly, he prayed for us. Did you know that? Did you know that Christ, hours before he would go to the cross, prayed for you? He prayed for all those that would become believers through the disciples. He knew they had this small amount of people, probably more than 12. They had the 12 disciples, but then they had other followers. And he knew that that would be the beginning of many, many, many people over hundreds and thousands of years who would call upon the great I Am and who would call upon Jesus Christ. He knew, and he prayed for us that we would have unity. Just before he goes to die, he prayed that we would have unity. Must have been pretty important in his mind for us to have unity. Just think about that for a second. And there's three accounts of Jesus' final prayers. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's three different accounts. And I'm going to read out of the account in Matthew. And this is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I want to read through this and just encourage us to think about what Jesus is going through and what his prayer looked like and then what his life looked like after his prayer as we come to the point of reflecting upon what he did through our time of communion this morning. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Again, he knows he's about to die. He knows he's about to get arrested. And he says to his friends, "Step aside and give me a moment to pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He tells Peter that, and he's going through the weakest flesh moment of his life, knowing that he has to go through this, knowing that he is going to go through this, and not wanting to go through it. And again, for the second time, he went away and he prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And so leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And at that moment, he was arrested. And he was led through some false accusations, some very poor court systems, and eventually was beaten, bloodied. His body was broken. He was hung on a cross, and he died. He was so sorrowful. He didn't want to do this. It says there he was sorrowful because he knew what was going to happen. He was troubled. And being in agony, in Luke, in the account in Luke chapter 22, it says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground." That's how stressed and how worried and how much sorrow Jesus was in when he realized that this was what it was coming to, that he needed to fulfill what God's will was. And what was his prayer? "Lord, I don't want to do this, but your will be done. God, I don't want to do this, yet your will be done." Remember what the dictionary says about courage? The quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, and pain without fear. courage. Jesus said, "Take this cup, but not as I will, as you will. May your will be done." Jesus was facing death. Jesus was facing difficulty. Jesus was facing danger. Most certainly, Jesus was facing pain. But he had the quality of mind and spirit to face all that without fear and to leave it into God's will, because he knew God. He was God. He knew and that God is faithful, that God had a plan. Jesus prayed with courage. Jesus prayed with courage. Just think if that was the end of the story and he didn't do what he ended up doing, because he prayed with courage and then he acted it out. He lived courage out by following through with that prayer. May your will be done, and then actually going and doing what God's will was. If he wouldn't have done that, we wouldn't have reconciliation with God. We would be lost sinners in a sinful world without reconciliation with God. But because Jesus had courage, because Jesus prayed with courage, and because Jesus acted out with courage, it changed everything forever. It changed and transformed his life, transformed his community, it transformed his nation, it transformed his world. Can it do the same for you? What will happen when we pray with courage? What will happen when you're facing difficulty and you pray with courage? What will happen when you're facing danger and you pray with courage? What will happen when you're facing pain and you pray with courage? What will happen when we leave it in God's will and not our own? What will happen when we say, "Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't want to face cancer, but your will be done. And Lord, I don't want to go through this day. I don't want to go through this pain today, but your will be done." And it could be a multitude of things that you might be dealing with. Earlier this year, I preached on storms and on the different things that we face in this lifetime. And it's the same thing. You could be going through any amount of different storms in your life. But what would happen if you prayed about these things with courage, and then you lived out your life with courage? What will happen when we face difficulty and danger and pain without fear but with courage? Because we have faith in Jesus Christ because of what he did. And we have faith in the great I am because of what God has done in our lives. What will happen? Think about your prayers. Think about what you deal with every single day and how you face those things. And will you face them with courage like Jesus did? Because Jesus went through it all. He went through it all, and he followed through. And I want you to think about that, and as you think and pray about that, I want you to think about these questions. How will prayers of courage transform our lives? How will prayers of courage transform our church? How will prayers of courage transform our community? How will prayers of courage transform our nation? And how will prayers of courage transform our world? Because I believe with faith and all of my heart that if we pray with courage and we act out and live our lives faithfully in and with courage, that Jesus is faithful, that God is faithful, and God will do amazing things, just like he did for Jesus, just like he did for every one of these examples from the Old Testament. God is faithful. What will happen when we pray with courage? For those of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, one day we are going to be in heaven before the great I am. We are going to worship together. I look forward to that day, and the only reason why we are able to do that is because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And we want you to know that you're welcome to join us in this. If you call Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is when we partake together. And this is when we remember his body broken and his blood shed for us. He prayed an amazing prayer of courage, and then he lived it out and now we will remember. Let's pray for the body and the bread. God, I thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And I thank you for his life that he lived. Thank you for his courageous prayers. And I thank you so much that he lived that out. And he went to the cross according to your will. And we remember now his body broken for us, that we could be reconciled to you, and that one day we can join you in heaven and worship you for eternity. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What then shall we say to these things? God is for us. Who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Jesus prayed courageously. He lived courageously. Today, we do this in remembrance of him. So now go, pray courageously, and live courageously in remembrance of him. God bless you. Have a great day.